Yes.
59. Yes, this is a nice one, isn't it, eh? Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is thy Redeemer, praise His name. He is Lord,
He is Lord.
He is risen from the dead, He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God and Father, we just thank Thee. We can come to Thee, many of us here, and say, isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? We know that will be our theme for all eternity. All of us who have put our faith and trust in Thy work, blessed Lord Jesus, at Calvary's cross. We would do pray for each little boy and girl here, an older one, teenagers too, in the room, that it might be their theme forever also. We thank Thee that Thy word still goes forth. It's still the day of grace. There's still that opportunity to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But we don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know about an hour from now. And so we would pray, if there are any boy or girl here or older one, Thou dost know the heart of every one. And we just pray that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, work in their heart for their blessing and cause them to see that Thou, blessed Lord Jesus, didst die for their sins, if they will admit and own that they're sinners and need a Savior. So we just ask thy help as we look into a few verses from thy word, and we pray that thou'll just bless them now as we give thanks in thy worthy and blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to sing one more, if you know the number for me, the B-I-B-L-E. So who knows the number for that one?
It's number 30.
Is it 30?
84.
84. Okay. Yes, okay. B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the B-L-O-O-D, that Jesus shed for me. His life he gave manifest the B-L-O-O-D. Well, I'd like to look at a few verses, and the theme is hidden in the verses. And I hope each boy and girl who can read has their Bible with them, because I'm going to be asking you to look up the verses, and as soon as you find the verse, I'd like you to stand, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be the one who reads the verse for us, but I was thinking about a few verses after listening to the gospel message the first evening we were here, and last night at the Sing Too. There's a theme that's been going on through the meetings, and I would like you boys and girls to discover it, because the word is hidden in each verse. I'd like the first verse, when you have the verse, just stand up, and I might say too, if the person who reads it will keep their finger in that verse, because I want you in that portion of the Bible, because I'd like you to read it again later. Okay, the first one is John 5 and 24. As soon as you have the verse, you teenagers too, although I would like those who are, there's one man, keep coming. John 5 and 24. Stand up when you have, especially people under the age of 12, I'd like to see you. Any girls? Keep coming. Well, I'm sure more of you than this fellow has it, but we let him read it in any case. Go right ahead.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Yes. Isn't that a good verse? That's one that we can hang our salvation on, can't we? Now, another verse, okay? Psalm 119, verse 9. Jeremy, you read.
Okay. Wherefore shall a young man turn his way by taking heed according to thy word?
Yes. That's a good one, isn't it? Particularly for those young men and young women, too, who already know the Lord Jesus. All right, another one. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'd like to get some more people coming. We want you involved, people. Do I see some? Was there someone back? Oh, there's a girl back here. Wonderful. All right. Two girls, excuse me. All right, this girl can read. I'm sorry you don't know your names. Hebrews 4, verse 12.
word of the Lord is first and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the rich, body, members of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and is the discernment of God and his man's heart.
Good.
That's Meredith.
You beg your pardon?
That's Meredith.
Meredith, thank you. All right. Another one. Psalm 119, verse 11. Okay, a teenager this time. Maybe I'll just point. Oh, all right, yes, arm.
Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
That's Norma.
Norma, yes.
You went.
All right. The next one, Isaiah 40, verse 8. All right. Good. Verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8.
Grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the word
of the grass is strange for. Yeah. That's good. All right. Another one. Psalm 119, verse 105. Same people still have it. We're going to use this fellow this time. 119, verse 5.
That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
All right.
Caleb.
Good. All right. Who has clued in? What is the word that's common to every one of those verses that we've read so far? Yes. It may be. It isn't the word that I am looking for, but I didn't check that one out. I'd have to use a computer that someone had here. Sean?
Word.
Word, yes. Word. What do I mean by word? W-O-R-D. How is it used in this case? The word. What is the word? Do you know, this little girl down front? What is the word? A little hint. What was that last little chorus that we sang? We spelled the Bible. Now, do you get it? What is the word?
Bible.
The Bible, yes. God's word. That's right. And I had this little thought on my heart because... I'm gray-haired now. I'm starting to lose a fair bit of it, too. But a few years ago, I think it's a few years ago, but I was like you, and everything was fun and games. And then teenage years came along, and I met my wife, and we had a family, and then we were busy, busy, busy for a long time. And now... the years have gone by and most of our children are away from us a long distance and we don't have quite the visiting with them that we used to. We can't sort of influence their lives. We did try to read God's word with them in the home. But I was thinking, and I think it's been mentioned, how Satan is making such a great attack against the Lord's people and against every Christian to fill up our time with so many other things. A lot of them are good things, eh? We have to work to earn our living, and yet it crowds into that spare time. Or perhaps it's an innocent little recreation, something that's fun and innocent in itself, not worldly, but still it takes time. And there's so many other things, and the pressures of the economy. Boys and girls who are teenagers now, they know all about that, the difficulties of studying so hard and long at university and not having a job even when you do get through your courses, and the pressure then for newly married couples just to make things meet. They have to be so busy. And so I would suggest to you boys and girls and everyone, myself included, that we really have to have purpose of heart and real diligence to be over God's word. And we've been hearing in these last meetings how important it is to keep in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Because if we don't, we're going to fall into a snare. We'll be easy mark for Satan. And then we will be turned aside. When a test comes, we won't have the word of God to fall back on. I know myself, I didn't spend enough time memorizing God's word, so that now I have a kind of an idea about the verse, but I miss a few of the words and I'm sometimes at a loss as to where to find it. So when is the best time to learn God's word? Isn't it right now when you're young? I'll just tell you a little story. My father was a farmer, that's a long time ago now, in Ireland. And after he got saved, there was a traveling preacher came through the area. He was delivered from his sins and rejoicing. And he used to tell me how he enjoyed, of course it wasn't the same style of life we have today, but he used to enjoy when he had a chance to sit down. He carried a little notebook in his pocket and a pencil and a New Testament. And he would sit down and read God's word and copy down a verse that seemed interesting and important to him. Just what Scott was talking about in the last meeting, how that to meditate and to think on it, and then it becomes part of us. And so I would recommend that to us all, because we need it. Satan, the pressures are on now, aren't they? The pressures are on. Satan realizes he has little time left, and if he can, he'll even snatch away the word that we have. And so I commend each boy and girl and each older one too to set aside that time and really get down to reading God's word. Just like Sean told of his brother who made a special effort to find time to read God's word. And I think you will get a better, you'll have an appetite for more of it. And so I recommend it to you. Let's find some more of these verses that talk about God's word. Isaiah 30:21. Man's fast here. All right, now, I don't know your name. You might as well tell me first.
Scott.
Scott, yes, okay. Yes, it is. Read it, Scott.
And thine ears shall hear a word behind me, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left.
Yes. And couldn't we all use that? Isn't there many a time when we come to a way and we're not sure which way we should go? But if we haven't stored God's word in our heart and in our minds and it's in there, then how can we be directed? We won't have God's word. We'll be turned on to our own wisdom, and the wisdom of man is worthless. We've all proved it, haven't we? And so the voice, as it were, is behind you. It will have been stored. Okay, another one. Psalm 119:130. There's a lot of them in that psalm, isn't there? 119:130. Norman, it's time. That's good. The entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. All right. Another one, Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4 and 4. Alright, you read it this time.
But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
Yes. Where are we going to get those words out of the mouth of God? Whereabouts?
From the Bible.
From the Bible. Yes. God's word. And we know that if you go to school now, many of the teachers are educated in ways that disregard God's word. It's old-fashioned. And they will try to teach you those things too and bring doubts into your mind. So it's so important, boys and girls, to read God's word and memorize it. Take the time to do it. Make a little game of it. You could make yourself flashcards. You know what I mean? Those of you who are younger and older too, print the gospel verse on one side and the reference on the other side, and put it up in your bedroom. Look at it often, and then give yourself a little test. Turn it around and see if you know it. Anything to put the word of God in your mind. All right. Psalm 138, verse 2. George, it's particularly the last part, but you can read the whole verse, George.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all the nations.
Yes. That's what God thinks of his word. He's magnified it even above his name. Should we do less? This is serious, isn't it? Because questions come up. And if we don't know the word of God, we can be easily led astray. That's a serious verse, isn't it? Well, these are just a few of the verses. I don't think I will take time right now for you to go over them, but I hope you've got the idea that God, in his word, really commends you learning his word. There's nothing to substitute for it. And I trust that each boy and girl, especially you young people, while your mind is quick and alert, will really study God's word, to read it slowly, as Mr. Brinkmeyer said. Let it think about it. It doesn't mean you have to read two chapters every night or anything like that to get done the Bible at a certain time, but to think about God's word and to pray too, and to ask him to direct you so that your mind will take in what you should. Now there'll be another man give you a little talk.
Well, that was very important, isn't it, boys and girls, to hear the word of God and to obey it, isn't it? And we want to do that because it's God's word. It's something that's not ours. It comes from God himself. I was thinking of a man in the New Testament. We hear about and listen to we hear about this story often. Perhaps we can read it together today in Luke chapter 19. He's someone that listened to the Lord Jesus and he obeyed. And we found that this man, when he did obey the word of God, he was happy. It's good to be happy, isn't it? We sometimes sing, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God." We all want to be happy. I was walking down the corridor this morning, and I saw one of you boys there, and I said to him, "Are you happy?" And he looked up with a big smile on his face, and he said, "Yes, I'm happy." That was nice, wasn't it? But what makes us happy? That's the important thing, isn't it? what makes us happy? Is it because the sun is shining outside? Is it because you've had a good night's rest? Is it because you're going to play outside and on a bicycle or whatever? You know, those things don't really make us happy, do they? Don't really make us happy. They may make us a little happy for a little time, but it doesn't last too long. But here, this man in Luke chapter 19, we'll just read it quickly. It tells us a well-known story about Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, this little story tells us about this man. It tells us that he was rich. It tells us that he had a good job. But as we were saying before, that didn't really make him happy. He wanted something else. He wanted something else. And you boys and girls, you know, if the Lord leaves us here, you're going to be growing up in this world. You're going to school one grade after the other, into high school and so on. And how important it is not to think that the riches of this world and the positions in this world will give you happiness. And this man, when he heard that the Lord Jesus was going to pass through his town, he did something about it. And you know, boys and girls, I'm sure you've heard about the Lord Jesus many times. And in that way, he's passed through your town many times. He's passed by you many times. You've heard about him. You've heard about him. I suppose, and this was the first time that the Lord Jesus passed that way where Zacchaeus was. And he took the opportunity to do something about it. He didn't say, well, the Lord Jesus is coming. I've heard that he's a very important person. I'll see him, maybe I won't. No, there was a real desire in his heart, a real longing in his heart to see him. And so he did something that was very unusual, wasn't it? Very unusual. You boys and girls no doubt climb trees. I see somebody nodding. Yes, climb trees. A lot of fun, isn't it? And you have to be careful. But this man was a grown-up person. But he was, as it tells us here, he was a little small. He wasn't very big. He wasn't very tall. And so he didn't let that get in the way. He climbed up that tree so he would be able to see the Lord. And oh, boys and girls, wouldn't it be nice if each one of you, whether you're just young or a little older, that you had that desire in your heart to really see the Lord Jesus. As I said before, you may have heard about him many times. but you really haven't accepted him in your heart, you haven't believed in him, you haven't invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. You've just heard and you've said, well, that's fine. Maybe some other time I'll do something about it. But how important this day, this very day, right now, that you're hearing about the Lord Jesus, and he is the words passing by you. You have the opportunity to accept him. How important it is that you do so this afternoon. July the 4th, I believe it is today, 1993. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, on July the 4th, 1993, was my second birthday. You know, my second birthday. We're all born once, we're all alive here this afternoon. But if we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we've had another birthday. We've been born again. We have a new life. And we can live for the Lord Jesus. And we can sing that hymn that we mentioned before. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. There won't be a day like it in your life to look back upon when the Lord Jesus was made your own, that you believed in him and trusted in him and had that joy in your heart of knowing him. And so that here was Zacchaeus on that tree, and here came the Lord Jesus comes by and it tells us that the Lord came to the place. He looked up and saw him. He looked up and saw him. Yes, the Lord knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew all about his life. And isn't it so, boys and girls, that the Lord Jesus knows all about you this afternoon? Everything you've done, not only your name, but everything you've done, everything you've said in your life, everything you've thought about, the little things that you've done that your mother and dad don't know about and you don't want them to know about. Yes, it's all open before the Lord, isn't it? He knows everything. How solemn that is. And so here the Lord comes. He looks up and he calls. And he calls. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste. In other words, hurry up. It wasn't something to be casual about. It wasn't something to think about and say, well, maybe I'll come down in another hour or so. No, this was something to be urgent. And so the Lord calls him and says, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in that house. I wonder, boys and girls, this afternoon, I wonder if the Lord Jesus himself was here this afternoon, and if he was the one that was speaking to you directly with his own voice, with his own invitation, and calling you by name. I wonder if you would respond. I wonder if you would listen and say, yes, I'll come to you, Lord Jesus. I accept thee as my Savior. Oh, this afternoon, the Lord Jesus isn't here. He's in heaven, though. He's up there in the glory. He went to the cross of Calvary, as we know. He died and he rose again. And he's alive in heaven this afternoon. And he's up there and he's given us his word to speak to us and to tell us about his love and tell us about his invitation. And so we have this wonderful little story about Zacchaeus that is written here for us, for our learning, for our good and our blessing. And we trust that you will respond to this invitation. And so Zacchaeus made haste. It tells us he made haste. He hurried up. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. He came down. He came down to where the Lord Jesus was. Oh, you know, it's sometimes hard to come down, isn't it? It's hard to come down. It's hard to take the low place as a sinner in the sight of God. We all like to think of ourselves as perhaps a little better than other people. But you know, the Word of God tells us very, very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's eye rests upon us and he sees exactly what we are like. I think, let's just read that verse again in Hebrews 4. It's a very searching verse. It tells us that the Word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of it. Those a lot of big words in that verse, isn't it? But it tells us in that verse that the Word of God searches us out. It reaches right down to our hearts and shows us what is in our hearts. And you know, boys and girls, there are a lot of not very nice things in our hearts, are there? And sometimes we don't realize it. It's all covered up. But when we read the Word of God and we see how good, perfect God is and how pure, and God is a God of light, and we think of all that and shows us what is in our hearts. It opens our hearts up. You know, if I had a rotten egg here on this table, you wouldn't know that that egg was rotten, would you? It'd be on this table. Nice egg, looks fine. But if I took that egg and I dropped it on the floor, why, what would happen? That egg would break. And all of what that was inside that egg would come out and would show how rotten that egg was, would smell, would be terrible. And so it is with the Word of God. You know, the Word of God exposes our hearts and shows us what's inside. And so Zacchaeus had to come down right to where the Lord Jesus was. He had to own, as it were, that he was a sinner and accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And so it tells us in our story, it tells us he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And so that's what we've been mentioning before, hasn't it? The fact that Zacchaeus was made happy that day. He was made happy that day, not because he got something, a wonderful present, or anything like that. It was the Lord Jesus himself that made him happy. And the fact that he obeyed the word of God, he obeyed the Lord Jesus. He did exactly what he told him to do. And he was happy. And all boys and girls and older ones, that's the only way we can be happy. We get true happiness, as we say, when we accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. But we also can only be truly happy as we go on. As we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we can only be truly happy as we obey Him day by day. We read a verse in the Bible that tells us something to do or not to do, and we ignore that verse. We say, well, it doesn't matter, I won't worry about that verse. That's a sad thing to do, isn't it? If we do that, then we can't really be happy. We have a bad conscience, and we go on, and we are bothered by that. And it's a good thing that we are bothered by that until we come to the point where we confess that and we obey the Word of God. And as we obey, we can go on in happiness before Him. Well, we trust that we will learn these lessons, that we will do what the Word of God tells us to do, and that each one of you, boys and girls, will not let the Lord Jesus pass by you today, because He may not pass by again. You know, the Lord Jesus went through that great city of Jericho. He was on the way to Jerusalem, and there He died on that cross. He never passed that way again. And Zacchaeus was his only opportunity to come to know the Lord as a Savior. And maybe this very day is your only opportunity, your last opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus. He may not pass by again. He may not pass by again. The Lord Jesus may come this very day, and then the door to heaven, the door of grace, will be forever closed, and you will not be able to accept the Lord Jesus again. You know, it was a very solemn incident not so long ago in Montreal, where I live, near outside the city of Montreal. One night, I think it was a Friday night, there was a load of teenagers. They were out for a drive, out for a good time. And they were going along a country road, and they were just fooling around, as it were. They were going and knocking down the mailboxes as they went along. They thought that was fun, until somebody followed them. And so they got frightened, and they turned off the lights and went down the road to turn into a farmyard. But they turned in the wrong way. And they missed the road, and they went into the ditch. And four of them went into eternity. They were gone. They were having fun just a few moments before, and then they were gone. Their opportunity was forever gone. They never could again accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. They were gone into eternity. Oh, dear friend, dear boys and girls and older ones, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. Hymn that Yes, number 98. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His sweet will, our hearts He can fill with His love as we trust and obey. Number 98.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His sweet will, our hearts He can fill with His love as we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for it's all the way to be happy in Jesus, not to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of His love when in times of self-pleasing we sing, for the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are the who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for it's not a way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Can we pray together? Our blessed God and Father, we thank Thee for this time together. We thank Thee for Thy Word being brought before us, the importance of Thy Word, our God. We thank Thee for it, and we just pray that each one of us may treasure Thy Word in our hearts, that we might live day by day in the good of what Thou hast given to us. We think of the young as well as the older ones here this afternoon, and we pray for each one of them that they may in their young lives be drawn to Thee, Lord Jesus, to respond to Thy invitation that Thou wouldst give to them to come to Thee and to trust Thee. To trust Thee for salvation and to give their lives to Thyself, and then to go on day by day to trust Thee and to obey Thee, Lord Jesus. Thou art the one who does want to be the Lord of our lives. So we just pray Thy blessing upon Thy Word, and for our time together we commit it to Thee, and we give Thee thanks, our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.